I'm Paul Wiegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are representatives from a new upcoming event, the Seraphin Summer Music, the artistic director of Seraphin Summer Music, Kate Ransom, also the artistic director of Seraphin Ensemble, and with her, Gus Mercanti, the festival manager and one of the performing artists at the Seraphin Summer Music event coming up June 20th through 30th at the Music School of Delaware, correct?
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Welcome, both of you. So glad to have you here. Seraphin has come up in interviews in the past with you, Kate. Gus, you're new to the studio, so I'm glad to have you here with Kate.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the Seraphin Summer Music event coming up on June 20th or June 20th through 30th. Go ahead, Kate.
Oh, thanks, Paul. So this is a new festival. This is the inaugural year of a chamber music festival that will present 8 concerts over the period between June 20th and 30th. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each of those 2 weeks, there will be a performance by the Seraphin Summer Music, which is, this year it's going to be 18 artists from around the United States and some from local climes.
And Gus, as the festival manager, what is your role in all of this?
I like to say, I was actually just talking with my parents about that yesterday, and I said, well, I feel like I have the good pleasure to work with the artists and get some logistics and things in line. But what I really like about it is that I'm in on meetings and planning all sorts of things. And I feel like it's that bullet on a job description where other duties as assigned, because we're a small and mighty team and we're just making it happen. So I think it's certainly now, really, it's getting to crunch time. So the logistics and getting the out of town folks here and making sure they're comfortable while they're here. But I mean, we're working with some of our partners right now to get some of those details wrapped up, always looking for more sponsors and partners. So we're just out there in the community, making sure people know about the festival and know that we're excited to have it here and that we look forward to working with them to make it the best festival that we can make it.
Now, Kate, you mentioned there are 18 artists that
That's
will
right.
be performing.
Yes.
What is the range of instruments, voices, and what are the various combinations of ensemble that an attendee could expect to see?
Well, there's a lot of variety. It's all chamber music, so it's all small ensemble, and so it ranges from a few solo performances up to the largest group we'll have this summer is 6. So on the roster of artists for the Seraphin Summer Music, we have 5 violinists, 3 violists, 3 cellists, 3 pianists. We have a double bass player, a countertenor, which is Gus, a clarinetist, and a flutist. And they're all just really, really superb artists who love to collaborate. And so it's about getting together, playing wonderful masterworks and some works that are lesser known to the audiences. But the range of programming is from Baroque. So, for example, Benjamin Shute will be coming back into town, and he specializes in Baroque violin playing, and he will present a beautiful work by J.S. Bach, mm-hmm. as part of the festival. But then the programming ranges up to, you know, more contemporary Shostakovich and so forth. But it's mostly, let's say, tried and true masterworks with a few works like the Borodin Piano Quintet, which is not played very often. But then we'll also have a Brahms Piano Quartet, which those are very popular pieces, the Brahms quartets with audiences. A couple of string quartets will be featured, Schubert's Trout Quintet. Each program has a theme to it. So such as like Bohemian Gems, for example, will feature composers from Eastern Europe. So we'll have some Smetana on that program, some Dvorak. It's classic would be Mozart, Schubert, and friends and mentors would relate, say, Brahms and Schumann and, I don't know, maybe Niels Gade, a lesser-known composer. So I guess you want to add something?
What I always want to point out is how exciting it is to have a vocal component to a chamber music festival, because it doesn't always happen. And it's an exciting thing to be included on any level, but certainly to include a countertenor, because sometimes we get left in the margin too when there is vocal music. So it's just, it's really cool. I'm delighted that there's a vocal component, and just Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm curious. Yes. Given the programming, given the range of artists that are participating, and I either one of you,
sure.
Which came first, selecting the programs or selecting the artists?
Well, okay. So the programming is a creative art in itself.
Right.
And that falls mostly to me, although I'm very delighted to have Gus by my side to help me, educate me and inform me about chamber works that include the voice, because I would really like that to be a more robust component as the festival years progress. So, but when it comes to how to decide what pieces to play and who to invite, that is sort of like walking into a candy store. So, because we chamber music players, we have our beloved composers and repertoire that we just really, really love sinking into and bringing our best friend musicians around to work on with us. We also have our favorite collaborators that we've met at festivals around the country, around the world, in our you know, performing opportunities that we've had through our lives. So this festival and the roster of Seraphin Ensemble reflects that for me and for the artists that are on the roster. So there will be some reuniting of artists who have met in various places and enjoyed playing together here, there, and everywhere. They're definitely all people who I have treasured my opportunities to perform with. And there'll be some people who will be meeting each other for the first time as well.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone on the roster knows at least someone else, and some of them know several and have collaborated numerous times over many decades.
Mm-hmm. So have you reached out to artists that you envision being fitting, sort of
exactly.
Working in the context of
right.
this program?
Compatibility yeah. is multi-layered, and it's mm-hmm. very important. First of all, it has to be people who are devoted to chamber music collaboration, mm-hmm. which not every artist is mm-hmm. interested in
right.
doing. Or not every artist is suited to doing. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be artists who have compatibility in how they approach that process. Also has to be people willing to do the festival experience, which is high intensity.
Yeah.
The rehearsals
will... It's exhausting.
Exactly. It's just days that are just packed with rehearsal after rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And you just immerse yourself in that process. So the artists will come into town on Sunday, get settled with their host if they're from out of town, and then rehearsing begins right away on Sunday afternoon. And it will be high intensity rehearsal actually all the way through the following Sunday, even overlapping with performance days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Kate, you took care of sort of the artistic component of this. Gus, you're the festival manager, so I assume that means you're kind of the logistical guy.
I think that's the best summary. Absolutely, yes.
So what has that entailed?
To date, it is, like I said earlier, I'm working with artists, just basic things. Are you allergic to cats and dogs, for example? Uh-huh, like making sure we're not putting them somewhere where they're not going to be comfortable. And we are out there, like I said, this is my favorite part of my job, is going to have a glass of wine at a restaurant maybe and saying, by the way, you want to partner with us? I mean, mm-hmm. who doesn't love that gig?
Right.
So we're out looking for sponsorships and mm-hmm. And partners.
And for the artists coming in from out of town,
yes.
are they being put up by hosts or
wonderful.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Hosts, yes.
Very, so. And we are what do you think, about 5 host homes
yes.
at this point?
Right.
And just spoke actually on the way here, spoke with someone because we are looking for one more, and I think we got someone, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's an amazingly, if you've done it, you know, but that's an amazing experience, because often I talk with folks, and I have the pleasure, I have a family I always stay with when I go to Washington State, and I'll be there next month. And I'm excited to go do the gig, but I really can't wait to see these people.
Mm-hmm,
they're just like so family.
They do.
You become, you just look forward to going there and being with them. And then the making of the music is, that's mm-hmm. the icing on the cake. So yeah. What am I skipping, Kate?
I don't know, things? But I think I should recognize that this Seraphin Summer Music is really only possible because of a combination of supporters. So there's mm-hmm. the the venue host, which is the Music School of Delaware. Mm-hmm. All eight performances between June 20th and 30th will take place at the Concert Hall of the Music School in Wilmington. But it's also made possible by resources and support from the University of Delaware Department of Music, which has hosted the Seraphin String Quartet for 10 years in residence there. That residency is coming to a conclusion at the end of this academic year. Mm-hmm. And so there's some resources available to us that we can use for these projects. And I'm very grateful for that. Jacob's Music Company will be providing a beautiful grand piano for us and also supporting the festival in a number of other ways. We're indebted for that. And Delaware Today, Delaware Media Inc., they are a promotional sponsor, as is Harry's Savoy Grill. So there are a lot of creative ways that we can work together work towards mutually beneficial purposes that also are really exciting for the audience. If the audience gets a special menu at Harry's Savoy Grill and Harry's Savoy Grill is willing to promote the festival to their constituents, that's a win-win.
Sure, sure.
As you think about it, part of the way I envision it is where you walk in, or if someone walks in somewhere, we want them to see this card. And so a lot of places like a coffee shop might allow us to leave it, but we're working with a couple of car dealerships. That's not somewhere I might normally think of finding a rack card for a music festival, but we want really anywhere someone walks in to see this and go, what's that? And pick it up. So that's the out of box thinking we're trying to think of doing.
Well, I want to take a look a little more at some of the artists that are going to be performing, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are Kate Ransom, the artistic director, and Gus Mercanti, the festival manager of Seraphin Summer Music. Looking at the roster of artists, you have some coming in from out of town, but I also see some names that I'm familiar with as former Division of the Arts Fellowship winners, and a few of the artists are locally homegrown performing artists. I think Gus, you for one, and I believe Benjamin Shoot is another one.
Yes.
Now I know Benjamin, I believe, was a student at the Music School of Delaware, was he not?
He was, as a very young boy, he was.
Right.
And he's done marvelous things. He's now at in Oklahoma, at University of Oklahoma. He's the violin professor there. And we're just so fortunate to be able to bring him back to Wilmington, where he got started.
And Gus, a little bit about your growth as a performing artist.
Thank you. I graduated from University of Delaware in 2003 and took a few years to figure out what was next, and then went off to North Texas to do my master's. And from there, got a Fulbright to go to Germany and studied there and performed there for about a year. Moved home in 2010. The short story long, as I joke, but the short version is I really thought we might go back to Texas, but my husband decided he wanted to change careers and just kind of worked out to be back here to make all that happen. That's when I reconnected with Kate and started working on a couple of other projects, and it just led to this wonderful friendship and really mentorship, and we've just had a great relationship. So she said, thinking of doing this festival, and I'd like you to do it with me. And I was like, sure. And then she said, and I want you to sing. And I said, sure. So, from Germany, it really, the year away is very rewarding. The performances I did were wonderful, but it's a growing time to spend that much time. Not really alone. Justin was with me, but in a practice room in Germany, and he'll tell you he had to force me to do it often. And I thought, I need to be doing other things. Mm-hmm. It was really an amazing year of self-discovery and growth.
Now, is this a unique opportunity for you to participate in as a performer in a festival? I mean, what is primarily an ensemble music festival?
Absolutely. The things that I've done are, other than maybe my summer at Tanglewood are very different. Maybe I'm doing a concert or so, but not necessarily being a part of a festival team like this. I don't know too many vocalists that have this opportunity unless it's a vocal music festival. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I think it's a bit unique for us.
Okay. Kate, I have a question for you. This festival, June 20th to 30th, Seraphin Summer Music. Seraphin is a familiar term. So this is an evolution, mm-hmm. or the result of an evolutionary that's process. Right. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, just to speak about how the name Seraphin with an F, S-E-R-A-F-I-N, came about is in my former string quartet, the Alexander String Quartet, which I toured internationally with for 6 years. When we were doing the competition circuit, we were trying to blend our sound, as every string quartet does. And eventually we were just coming up against the tone of my instrument that I had, which was a modern Italian instrument, just wasn't, it did not have the capacity to blend as much as we needed. So our coach at the time, who is now the conductor of Toronto Symphony, Peter Ungen, but was a member of the Tokyo Quartet at the time, he said, oh, I have an idea. And the next week he brought to our coaching a violin for me to try. And he said, here, try this. And I tried it, and it felt and sounded just strange and different to me. I couldn't really assess it as we played through a movement of a Beethoven quartet. We stopped, and my three colleagues in the Alexander Quartet were just staring at me.
Wow.
And I was sort of staring down at the violin, like, all befuddled.
What am I doing?
Right. This feels different. And they were like, wow, that is so amazing. So that was my first opportunity of playing the instrument that I have now played ever since, the Seraphin violin made by Sanctus Seraphin in 1728. Mm-hmm. And eventually, through the grace and generosity of my family, I was able to, over many years, acquire the instrument when Peter Ungen decided to sell it.
Okay.
And it's been one of the greatest gifts and experiences of generosity in my life. So it means a lot to me. I love this instrument in particular. I love the Seraphin that I play. And so when we started playing string quartets 20 years ago now, the first opportunity was the person at the Wilmington Public Library wanted a string quartet program. Mm-hmm. I had been putting together piano and string chamber music for, say, First and Central, for David Shalott, mm-hmm. and for other presenters. But he said, no, I really want a string quartet. I said, well, yeah, I know a guy. I think we can do this. So we put together a string quartet program, and mm-hmm. we started preparing it. And he said, oh, I need a name to promote this concert. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we don't really have a name. He said, well, could you come up with one? Yeah. And I just sort of off the top, I said, okay, why don't you just call it Seraphin String Quartet?
Interesting.
And so that was we thought it was going to be a one-off concert, a meeting of friends, just doing something, a fun opportunity. But we enjoyed the process so much that we actually ended up making it a regular thing. We were given a wonderful opportunity that coincided with what David Shalott wanted to do at First and Central. So our first sort of residency was there for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And it gave us the opportunity to learn and play and present to the public a lot of repertoire. Mm-hmm. And so we did that for many years. And then we had other residencies, Lehigh University, and then most recently for 10 years at the University of Delaware. So it's been a serious venture for 2 decades. Things are changing on the landscape at the University of Delaware. Our cellist, Larry Stomberg, has much increased responsibilities there now as the associate chair for performance studies. And everybody's obligations are, you know, such that it's time to do things differently. Mm-hmm. So I'm delighted that my colleagues, Lisa Vopel and Larry Stomberg, are both going to be part of the Seraphin Summer Music this summer. And I've cherished the opportunity to play with them. Mm-hmm. I'm also thrilled about opening the doors to all these other artists, to bring them to Wilmington from Georgia, from New York, from Florida, from Nashville, Tennessee, and Ohio, and combine together with a group of superb local artists that will be part of the roster, mm-hmm. too.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left, so let's turn to the audience. What does the structure of Seraph and Summer Music look like? The logistics about getting tickets. Can I buy a ticket for a single performance or for the whole series? What are the logistics there?
Absolutely. So the concerts are from the 20th through the 30th, Paul, and they're Thursday.
Of June.
June. Thank you. And they are Thursday and Friday. Both of those Thursdays and Fridays at 7 p.m. The Saturday performances are at 5 p.m. The Sunday performances are at 4 p.m. All of that is available at our website at seraphinensemble.org. And at seraphinensemble.org, since you mentioned tickets, you also have the opportunity to purchase those there. It will redirect you to that link. You could buy a single ticket, but we do have a four-pack of tickets available. You pick any four concerts you want, and you can go ahead and subscribe to all eight as well. Mm-hmm. It really is just whatever the audience member wants to do. My advice, personally, if you do the math, I'm a numbers guy, it absolutely makes sense to do the 8-pack. And then if you can't make a few, now you've got a couple gifts to give to some friends neighbors and whatever. I mean, buy the subscription. Let's do it. Right? That's it.
You got it.
And I assume you're still entertaining sponsorships. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Who would one contact?
One would contact, I think, either of us, but I would happily love to talk to anyone. And could I just give my number right on the air?
That's
here?
Fine.
Sure.
If you're willing to make it public.
I am. It's probably right on our website, too. But sure. 302-588-1501. We would love to talk with you about that and being part of the inaugural festival.
Mm-hmm. And these will all take place at the Music School of Delaware.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And the days off in between those 2 weeks, that's when there's going to be rehearsing for the second,
exactly.
Second week. Well, this has been really exciting. I'm really looking forward, for your sake and for the community's sake, the Seraph and Summer Music, coming up June 20th to 30th, at the Music School of Delaware. Again, as Gus mentioned, the website is www.seraphinensemble.org, and that's Seraphin with an F. Kate Ransom and Gus Mercanti, has been a pleasure having you with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.